And I'm entitling the message from the words found in verse 10, mercy and truth. Mercy and truth are met together. That's the good news of the gospel. Mercy and truth are met together. Now, we've been studying through the book of Isaiah, and we called the gospel there of Isaiah, the writings of Isaiah, the gospel according to Isaiah. And he is a prophet of God. But we also see through the book of Psalms, 150 Psalms, we see the gospel according to David, according to the psalmist. And our Lord did say in Luke 24, the risen Lord, his last words to his disciples, all things must be fulfilled which are written in the law and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. Concerning me. So this is, when we look at the Psalms, we're looking for the gospel, aren't we? We're looking for the gospel. It's all about Christ. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed. There's reconciliation. There's harmony. There's harmony. All the attributes of God are magnified and exalted in the gospel of Christ. Not only mercy and truth, but also righteousness and peace. The death of the Lord Jesus Christ as a sinner's substitute does not change the character of God. The Lord didn't die in order for God to be merciful. The Lord Jesus Christ died because God is merciful. God is love. He doesn't change the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't change the character of God. He said, I'm the Lord, I change not. But the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ magnifies all the attributes and character of God are honored in Christ crucified to enable God to be a just God and Savior, to enable him to be just and the justifier. Now that's the question of questions. How can God be just and holy and save sinners and not violate his own holy justice? He can't take our sin and just sweep them under the rug. Sin demands payment. And the Lord Jesus Christ paid the debt in full and set me free, set us free, as we sang a moment ago. Now, this is another good gospel psalm, for it tells us of the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ and his saving mercy to undeserving sinners like you, like me. This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation. The Lord Jesus Christ came to save sinners. And I can say with the apostle, I'm the chief one. The Lord Jesus Christ didn't come to die for the righteous. He came to die for the ungodly, for sinners. The good shepherd laid down his life for his people, his sheep. And in time, due time, he will cross their path with the gospel and will reveal himself to those people. He does that by revelation. He comes to us and shows us his mercy. He shows us his mercy in Christ and him crucified. Now, verse 1 and verse 3, we have a declaration what God has done for us. Lord, see the all capital letter, Jehovah. Lord Jehovah, thou hast been well pleased. God is well pleased with the Lord Jesus Christ. He's well pleased for his righteousness' sake. The Lord speaks from heaven, said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear him. Lord, thou hast been well pleased with thy land, with God's people, God's church, the land of Zion, the land of salvation. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Now, whenever you see that word or name, Jacob, you should always remember that God loves every Jacob. Jacob have I loved. Jacob is a representative or a emblem of God's covenant children. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, Jacob's, that we should be called sons of God. The Lord has been favorable and gracious unto his covenant people, and he will set them free from the bondage of sin. Israel of old is an example and picture of the Lord's free grace, unmerited favor. Remember, Israel, the national people, they were in Egyptian bondage how many years? 400 years. Are they going to deliver themselves from that bondage? No way. No way. God had to send a deliverer named Moses, and God delivered them through that prophet, through the blood on the door, and through opening up that Red Sea. Remember, Moses said, the Lord said, by Moses, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And they walked through. The sea was divided. They walked through on dry ground. Now, who did that? Thou hast delivered them from captivity. And again, some years later, when the Assyrian army came from Babylon and came into Jerusalem and destroyed the temple, destroyed the city, that great temple that Solomon had built. I mean, they just destroyed it. They carried away hundreds and thousands of the best men in Israel, including Daniel, including Ezekiel. They killed multitudes, thousands, and they were carried away into Babylonian captivity for 70 years. How are they going to escape the army of the king Nebuchadnezzar? God raised up another king named Cyrus and defeated the Assyrians. And that was God's purpose and God's man to do so. But they're not getting out of that captivity until God raises up the means whereby he would deliver them. And that's the same thing likewise with God's spiritual people, his spiritual Israel. Even so, likewise, the Lord has set us free from the curse of the law, hadn't he? That law that was against us, that was contrary to us. The law says, you remember what the law says? Cursed, cursed, guilty, guilty. Well, we can't deliver ourselves from the bondage of the law. But the Lord Jesus Christ hath redeemed us from the bondage of the law, being made a curse for us. He redeemed us with his own blood. Christ has set us free from the bondage of sin. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has set us free. Our Lord, when he was in Nazareth, went to his own hometown synagogue and asked for the book of Isaiah. And he read from Isaiah 61, said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath caused me to set the captives free, to heal the brokenhearted, recovering of sight to the blind. And he gave him that book to those Pharisees and said, this day is the scripture fulfilled. He is the one who has set us free. Whom the Son set free, they're free indeed. The Lord hath brought back to captivity. We couldn't deliver ourselves from the bondage of sin, from the penalty of the law. Who did that? He did that for us. Look at verse 2. Again he declares, thou hast, the Lord hath. This is not the church. This is not mom. This is not dad. This is not the preacher. This is not the ceremonies of religion. The Lord hath forgiven the iniquity of somebody. Call his name Jesus. He shall save his people from their. And I've quoted this verse wrong for so many years. I caught myself the other day. And I had to go back and look it up. Call his name Jesus. He shall save his people from their sins. It's plural. Original sin, actual sin, sin of omission, sin of commission, all sins. He delivered us. He shall save us. Thou hast forgiven all the iniquity of thy people. Is it completely forgiven? Well, you know, most of the big sins are forgiven. You have to take care of the rest of them. Now that wouldn't be good news, would it? Thou hast forgiven all thine iniquity. Based upon what? Based upon the Lord Jesus Christ putting away our sin by the sacrifice of himself. So completely, so fully, that he said their sin and their iniquity will I remember no more. Oh, that's good news. You mean God doesn't remember my sin? None of the past, present, or future. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. And then he says, thou hast covered all their sin. Covered it up with his blood, the blood of Jesus Christ. God's Son cleanses us from all our sin. Who are these people? They're his people by his choice. Our Lord said, you didn't choose me, I chose you. Who are these people? They're his by divine purchase. He bought us. God bought the church with his own blood. They're his people by divine call. He calls us out of darkness into his marvelous light. He commands the light to shine out of darkness. Aren't you glad for the good news there? Thou hast been favorable. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sin. Selah. Think about that a while. All our sin covered. Blessed is a man. You remember Psalm 32? Isn't it Psalm 32? Blessed is a man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. That's a blessed man. Verse 3, look at this. Thou hast, that is the Lord, has taken away all thy wrath, the wrath of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, bearing our sin in his own body on the tree. What also comes along with bearing our sin? The wrath of God. The Lord Jesus Christ, as he was made sin for us. He knew no sin, but he has our sin laid upon him. And the wrath of God fell upon him, and he drank the cup of damnation dry. Therefore, in Christ, there is no judgment left, no wrath left for us, because the Lord has taken away all our sin and has satisfied the holy justice of God. Now in Christ, there's no condemnation for those who are in the Lord Jesus Christ. He made complete atonement for his people. Again, that's good news. Good news. The Lord made complete atonement for all our sin. Now, verse 1 through 3, we have a declaration of what God has done for us, his people, his covenant people, his church. Now he says in verse 4, and this is our prayer. This is our prayer unto the Lord. And make this your prayer right now. Now turn us. Turn us. Turn us. Turn us to God from our idols. Remember 1 Thessalonians chapter 1? We've been turned to God from our idols. Turn us, O God of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Who else could turn us? Who else could turn us? Turn back just a couple pages. I think it's Psalm 80. Turn over there. Psalm 80, verse 3. Look at verse 3, Psalm 80. Turn us again, O God, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Turn us, O God. Turn us from self and our idols, our own ugly self-righteousness, and turn us to thee, O God of our salvation. Salvation's of the Lord, isn't it? He's a God of our salvation. Look at verse 5. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? God has a right to be angry with every sinner. God has a right to be angry because he's holy. We're unholy. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Wilt thou not revive us again that thy people may rejoice in us? The only way that God's holy, righteous indignation and anger is turned away from us is through Christ and him crucified. That's the only ground of salvation, is the blood atonement of Jesus Christ. Wilt thou not revive us? Verse 6. Lord, revive us again. that thy people, may rejoice in thee. We need, as believers, regeneration happens one time. One time. But there is an ongoing life in a believer of conversion. Regeneration happens one time. And then conversion is a whole life of living out, being justified by faith. The just shall live by faith. Wilt thou not revive us again? Yes, he will. Revive us again. We need reviving because of the weakness of this flesh. We have that new man created in us that is made new and revived every day, but we still have this, we still drag around with us this old wretched man that Paul talks about. Who shall deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Thank God he will revive us again and again and again. And we fall and we stumble and he picks us up. Lord, revive us again that thy people may rejoice. What? We rejoice in thee. He is our joy. He is our joy. He is our joy. We are the true Israel. You remember Philippians 3, which worship God in the Spirit, that rejoice in Christ Jesus, and we have no confidence in the flesh. We rejoice in the Lord. As he revives us again and again, aren't we revived every time we come and sit and listen, study the Scripture, when we come to worship? We're revived again, aren't we? Revived again by the Spirit of God, that we may rejoice. We rejoice. We rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Again, he prays, verse 7, show us your mercy. Show us your mercy. Show us your mercy. We don't see it naturally. We don't see the mercy of God. God has to show it to us. That is, he has to reveal that unto us. You remember that scripture? He's hid those things from the wise and prudent and hath revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, it seems good in thy sight. Show us thy mercy. Show us thy mercy, O Lord. All salvation is of God's mercy toward us. Moses asked the Lord, do you remember Exodus 33? Lord, show me your glory. Remember? What did the Lord say? I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. God's greatest glory is my greatest need. I need mercy. It's of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy. He saved us. Show us mercy. I don't want judgment. You hear people say, oh, I want what's coming to me. No, you don't want that. All you've got coming to you is judgment. The wages of sin is death. I don't want what's coming to me. I want mercy. I'm a mercy beggar. I'm going to take my place before the throne of God as a mercy beggar. Remember, he says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Show us your mercy, Lord, and then grant us thy salvation. See the second part of verse 7? Grant us thy salvation. Salvation is a gift. It's a grant. It's a sovereign grant. God doesn't save everybody. God's not in the business of trying to save everybody. The God of the Bible doesn't try to do anything. He does all his pleasure. He works everything out the counsel of his own will. God must grant salvation or we will not be saved. He grants salvation. And this salvation we know of here is sovereign salvation. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. We are to sit still and behold the salvation of the Lord. None of us are deserving or worthy of his salvation, but we rejoice that Christ is pleased to save sinners. Show us thy mercy, O Lord. Grant us thy salvation. Now, look at verse 8. I will hear. And if the Lord shows us mercy and grants us salvation, we're going to hear what God the Lord will speak. What's he talking about there? He's talking about his word. He's talking about what you have in your hand, in your lap. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people, his covenant people. We're to get those covenant people. All that the Father has given to me, they will come to me. For he will, not maybe, not could be, or perhaps, he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints. But let them not turn again to foolishness. Now, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He made peace for us with his own blood. One of the worst statements a sinner can make, and if he makes this statement, he's ignorant and he's yet in darkness. A lot of people say, well, I'm trying to make peace with God. You ever heard somebody say that? You can't make peace with God. If you could make peace with God, no need for Christ to come. He made peace for us with his own blood. You see the difference? He will speak peace unto his people. He's reconciled. God is reconciled unto his people through the blood atonement of Christ. He's forgiven our sin. He's covered our sin. He's taken away his wrath. His people are saints. You see that in verse 8? His people and to his saints. Now his people are his saints. What is a saint? A saint is a sinner saved by grace. If you know yourself to be, as I said Sunday, a lot of people don't understand this, but if you know yourself to be a sinner, you're a saint. I'm a sinner? Yes. I'm a saint in Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. What does a saint mean? Set apart. God set us apart and declared us to be holy in Christ. That's a saint. It's not something that we do. There are some churches that make people saints. We don't make anybody a saint. How can one sinner say, well, I'm going to make you a saint? God makes us saints. Every believer is a saint. And here's a warning. Let's not turn again to foolishness. Let's not turn again to foolishness. Now, we're prone to it. You remember that song we sang? Prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, O take and seal it for thy courts above. Come thou fount of every blessing. Tune my heart to sing thy grace. Newton said, 'tis a point I long to know. Often causes me anxious thought. Do I love the Lord or no? Am I his or am I not? Let us not turn again unto folly, to foolishness. Let us not turn to seeking salvation. Nothing is more foolish and folly than to seek salvation by the deeds of your wicked hands. Now that's folly. That is foolishness. Surely, verse 9, his salvation. Surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him. Nigh them that fear him. Can you turn over here? Let's turn a few pages. I think it's Psalm 34. Turn over here to Psalm 34. Verse 18, the Lord, Psalm 34, 18, the Lord is nigh unto them that, the Lord is nigh unto them that have a broken heart. He saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. The Lord is nigh them that fear him. What is it to fear the Lord? It's to worship him. It's to honor him. It's to give him all the glory for the salvation due unto his glorious name. That glory may dwell in our land, in our midst. God forbid we should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that gets us down to verse 10. And this is such a... I want you to take this verse and commit it to memory. I want you to take this verse and I want you to think about it the rest of the week. And I'm going to ask you to stand up here and quote it on Sunday morning. I'm not going to do that. Mercy and truth are met together. The attributes of God are all in harmony in Christ crucified. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. That happened at the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ and Him crucified. Mercy and truth. God shows mercy, but not at the expense of His truth. He shows peace, but not at the expense of His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier. Now, that's the question of all questions, isn't it? How can God be just and justify the ungodly? Well, it's not by deeds of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saves us. So, mercy and truth, reconciliation, righteousness and peace, are kissing each other at the cross. Christ and Him crucified. Verse 11, truth shall spring out of the earth. Now, who is truth? Christ is mercy. Christ is truth. Christ is righteousness. Christ is the Lord our peace. Truth, having put away our sin, died for our sin according to Scripture. On the third day, truth sprang out of the earth. Don't you see the resurrection there? He was delivered for our offenses and raised again because He justified us. How important is the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ? If He's not raised up, we're dead in our sin, and He's an imposter. If He's not raised up, we're in big trouble. If He's not raised up, we better start looking for a mediator, a high priest, and a savior. But the Lord Jesus Christ is raised up from the earth. But not only that, He ascended to glory when He by Himself purged our sin. He sat down on the right hand of God. Righteousness shall look down from heaven and is satisfied. The Lord is well pleased for His righteousness' sake. He will magnify the law, make it honorable. Isaiah 42:21. Righteousness shall look down and say, I'm well pleased. Verse 12, the Lord shall give that which is good. Can He give anything less than what is good? There is none good but God, right? There is none good but God. The Lord is good. The Lord shall give that which is good. Faith is a gift of God. Salvation is a gift of God. These are all the good gifts of God. And because God gives everything freely by His grace, He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? He freely gives us all things. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth righteousness without work. We're justified freely by His grace through redemption that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yea, the Lord shall give. He shall give. I was looking at a scripture here. Yeah, right across the page. Psalm 84, look at verse 11. Right across the page. What will He give? The Lord God is sun and shield, light and protection. The Lord will give grace and glory. Boy, I need that. Grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly, O Lord of hosts. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Thee. The Lord, yea, the Lord shall give that which is good. And we shall yield the increase of His goodness. What is the fruit of the Spirit? His goodness. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, temperance. Righteousness. Look at this now. Righteousness shall go before Him. This is talking about the resurrected Lord. The forerunner for us has entered in and is seated. Righteousness shall go before Him. That is, the resurrected Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, went to glory, having accomplished our salvation, is seated on the right hand of God. Now watch this. And shall set us in the way of His steps. Now, you remember Psalm 24? Psalm 24? Turn over there. Psalm 24. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? The Lord shall set us in the way of his steps. That's what it says there. Psalm 24, verse 3. Psalm 24. You got it? Who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul to vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord, and the righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face. Oh, Jacob, there's that Jacob again. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this one that has clean hands and a pure heart, who's never lifted up his soul to vanity? That's the God-man mediator, and that's us in him. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Lift them up, ye everlasting doors. The King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Lift them up. Lift them up, ye everlasting doors. The King of glory shall come in. Verse 10. Who is the King of glory? He's the Lord of hosts. He's the Lord of his people. He is the King of glory. You remember what it says, Hebrews 6, we have an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which enters into the veil where the forerunner for us has entered, even Jesus, our great high priest. And then I'll quit with this. Don't turn, you're familiar with this. Ephesians 2, verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together, made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. He raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. Righteousness shall go before him and shall set us in the way of his step. We're already seated in the heavenlies in Christ. Already done.